Welcome to the Limitless Wrestling Podcast, the official podcast for your favorite indie promotion of all time, that being Maine's own Limitless Wrestling. My name is Josh Nason. On today's show, we're going to get that taste out of our mouth because it's all done. February's bitter taste in the books. We're going to recap everything that happened at last month's great show, another sold-out show at the Yarmouth AmVets. We're going to look ahead to April's Guilty Pleasures, also coming from the Yarmouth AmVets. Talk about some news and notes and all the good stuff as well. A little bit of Let's Wrestle. And helping me do that, as always, as a man who would love to tell you about his guilty pleasures, that would mean 1 to 3 years in the Maine State Prison. It's Randy Carver. Randy, say hi to the fine people.
Wow, that'd be tough for me, Josh. How's it going today?
Things are good. Yeah, I was sad to miss the show. As I let you know beforehand, I was in Jamaica for, not a scouting trip for a Jamaican championship wrestling or anything like that. I mean, looking for recruits to bring back. But yeah, I was on vacation and then finally was able to see the show. So yeah, apologies that this is taking a little bit longer than usually the week after we do the show. But it was I was excited to see everything. I stayed relatively spoiler free. And I was pretty impressed by that. I didn't have to mute the feed or anything like that. But yeah, it was a good vacation. Always good to come back to 3 hours of Limitless Wrestling action.
Hell yeah. How was your trip, by the way, to Jamaica? I'm sure, sad to miss it, but not too sad being in Jamaica.
I know. Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great to get out of here. Wife and I went, and it was our first vacation away in just her and I in like a couple of years. So it's good when you have a kid and a giant dog in the house and responsibilities and all that stuff. She's a teacher, so it's good just to leave all that behind and that plane door closes and let somebody else take care of your problems for a week. It's a nice thing to have.
Absolutely. That's good to take once in a while.
That's right. So yeah, we had and we're recording this the day after Boston, AEW, BOSSTON. Of course, you and I were talking about it before, AEW Dynamite in Boston, the debut of Mercedes Moné. And I was telling you ahead of time that the Silver Sniper, TJ Crawford, someone we're going to see in April, was on the show doing a match for Ring of Honor against Matt Sydal. Had a large cheering section there, and it's saw also, who else did I tell you? Little Mean Kathleen, Bryce Donovan was there. So a few Limitless alumni. It's always kind of fun. They don't do the AEW Dark tapings or Elevation or anything like that anymore. So, we used to see guys like Channing Thomas, BRG, so many other Limitless Wrestling stars from the current and the past in these matches. But it's good to see even a couple guys and girls getting an opportunity.
Yeah, TJ getting a singles match with Sydal too. That's awesome. I was stoked for him. And you said LMK. I saw Jalen Brandon of Waves and Curls in the mix too. Right, yeah. So that's always something you hope for anytime, like if WWE or AEW are coming to Boston or the area in general, that maybe some of the locals get a look in some capacity, and especially, TJ getting a real competitive match with Sydal, who's always down to clown. So I was stoked to hear that.
That's right. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about on the show, so we'll get right to it. I want to ask, before we get to Bitter Taste, which, again, another sold-out show, so well done to you, Randy, for booking the show and putting on a show that people wanted to buy. And I got to say, on behalf of you, great job to the Limitless fans for continuing to come out and support. And even if some of the full card isn't announced, you just have names announced. They have the trust in you and trust in promotion and everyone involved. It's going to be a great show. And time after time, you always knock on wood, but it's been a hell of a run. And I think a big part of that is the fans. And the fans, I was really impressed watching the show afterwards on IWTV. That in the main event, the crowd was basically like 99% full, 98% full, whatever percentage you want to put on it. But it was really like packed in there. They stayed around. They wanted to see the main event. They want to see everything leading up to it. And I was really happy and just impressed by that. Not that I would expect anything different, but I thought it was really great. We have a really great fan base. And the fact they keep coming out is it's really cool to see and be a part of, even if it's just doing this podcast,
Yeah, it was a really refreshing atmosphere, honestly, at the last event. And I feel like we've been saying something to the sort for a while now. But really, since Vacation Land Cup of last year, the stretch run from August to now, the support that we've got from really fans all over the state, fans all over New England who are traveling into some of these shows, it's amazing. It truly is. And it feels like we're on an incredible swing right now. And I think that's going to allow us to do some really cool things as the year progresses. So It's just been great. You know, this doesn't exist and it doesn't flourish without the support of people coming to see what we're doing and being invested in what we're doing and wanting to support it. So we appreciate it every step of the way. And I think it's going to pay off for all of us later this year.
Yeah. So before we get in the car, I want to ask, as I always do, how did the whole day go? I know you had some changes kind of behind the scenes, some different personnel, some people that are booked up, you know, some kind of a little bit short staff, but overall, everything seemed to flow well. And anything else that the fans would find interesting about the day?
It was, yeah, it was a bit like shorthanded in terms of kind of our back of house crew that we typically have. We were just down a few of the normal parts that kind of make everything, you know, go without a hitch. So we just kind of knew it was going to be more of a stressful day. And honestly, more of the weight was going to have to be distributed to some other people who typically aren't in those roles. But we had a lot of people step up throughout the day. Of course, Top Shelf going at it alone for most of the night on commentary. He had some friends popping in throughout some of the matches. But we had no interviewer downstairs, which is untypical. We had a new cameraman downstairs as well. So it was just a lot of moving parts that, you know, typically maybe we have one or two of those things pop up on a, you know, a particular show. This time it was about five or six. So just a lot of different things had to go in motion in different ways. But that's the fun of it all sometimes. We had Sami Callihan in the house too earlier that day, one of the highest attended seminars that we've had on a Limitless show. So that was really cool to see, you know, wrestlers from Creative Pro New Jersey, Creative Pro New York, New England Pro Wrestling Academy, Limitless Dojo, probably a few I'm forgetting, but countless schools from around the Northeast traveled in for a chance to get in front of and pick the brain of Sami Callihan. And also for those who are, you know, ready to wrestle some matches, we had some tryouts for Wrestling Revolver, Sammy's promotion that does a lot of work throughout the Midwest. So doubled up to be a cool opportunity. But honestly, like it was a credit to a lot of our dojo students and a lot of our typical crew members, John Roy, Paul, Harry, a ton I'm forgetting, but a lot of people just stepped up and made it a breeze when we had a lot less people than we normally do.
All right, let's get to the card itself. We're talking about heavy hitters. I mean, this opened up with some heavy hitters. We've been talking about this for quite a while. Again, Ace Romero taking on Sami Callihan, and these two had not done battle in Limitless since November 2017. Old rivals, they fight each other in other promotions, but it's been a while since the Limitless Faithful got to see this in front of them. And, you know, Callihan didn't waste any time attacking Ace before the bell and challenge him to change the rules up, Randy. It's not just a match, a Yarmouth street fight, or a Yarmouth street fight, as Sami Callihan pronounced it, trying to get the enrage the crowd, I think, mispronouncing the name of their great city. But Ace, no doubt, we knew he was going to quickly accept, and then it was on. And this paper cuts, I mean, who knew? Everyone talks about flaming tables and glass and all these things these days, Randy, but who knew that a simple 8x10 would be a damaging weapon of paper cuts between the webbing of the fingers, Ace's leg, his head, and it was just has anyone ever done that to you, Randy? I mean, you know how bad a paper cut is. Anyone has intentionally given you a paper cut in your life?
Geez, not that I can recall, because I think it would stand out to me, because this was just gross. The webbing of the like hand is that's tough to for me to even think about. I hate that one. Did it right across his fucking lips too. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, and given this Sami Callihan guy, I mean, he goes, not only is he doing all that, he then shoves Ace Romero's mother.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to happen there. You put your hands on Mama Romero, anything is possible. I mean, dude, Sami came out, he hucked the water bottle, he almost fried our sound system. He beats Ace over the head with the microphone. I don't know why we have this dude back. I mean, pushing Ace Romero's mother? I mean, you can't be doing that.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, this was crazy. Had chairs, trash cans, a door involved, and Ace took a dive through that at one point. Rallied back, almost pulled out a stink face, Randy. Shout out to Rikishi. Then Callihan pulls out a staple gun and decides to start stapling Ace. And then eventually the tides got turned, and Ace got the staple gun and stapled Callahan's balls, if we're really just, you know, talking straight here. And then eventually Ace got the pin and the win, did kind of essentially like a running elbow drop in a sense. and landed on Callahan. This is a battle of attrition that Ace won and gets another victory. Again, his slow climb to the top, and afterwards in the back, he said that he's going to continue his path. But he also had some words for Aiden Agro. Keep my name out of your fucking mouth. And why did he say that? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But Sami Callihan, still always game for a fight, but still looking for his first limitless win in his career there. And then, but again, Asa has a second straight victory. And, you know, again, I like what he said. He's not not calling for a title shot. He's just going rung by rung up that ladder and with a heavy competition to get up that ladder.
Yeah, I mean, Romero, as a guy who's been to the top and, you know, someone, a true pillar of this company, I would say, from the very beginning, you know, he knows the walk and the climb to the top is not an easy one, you know, and he's going to take that, as you said, kind of step by step, rung by rung, and made, it was an impactful statement, I would say, to call out, not only call out, but to, you know, face Sami Callihan in a matchup like this, and now, you know, Romero can kind of pack this one away and say, okay, you know, not a fluke before. I've defeated my mentor. I've put this guy behind me, and it's a major win for Romero. It's got to be some wind back in the sails after kind of a disappointing end to 2023, not regaining the championship. And then, you know, watching this run from afar that Channing Thomas has been on, you know, with Vacation Land Cup season on the horizon, that Romero's got to and wants to get himself back in that mix. So a match like this, where you call your shot with Callahan, you really can't miss if you want to make that climb.
It goes to our next match of the night, and this was an entertaining one, an impromptu one. Ricky Smokes taking on Gabby Forza, the rookie sensation, who reminds me a lot, I don't want to put too much pressure on her, reminds me a lot of Desmond Cole's first run in limitless wrestling in terms of the fans immediately taking to her. Obviously a lot younger in her career, but just something to watch. I want to see how the end, obviously, this year turns out, but keep an eye on Gabby Forza, as we talked about. But let's go to Ricky Smokes, Randy, because this guy... he's confident. I'll give him that. And he cuts an intense promo addressing the fans. And, you know, he laid out a challenge to Aaron Rourke to a match right here, right now. Of course, this is after he hit him with that steel chair quite some time ago and laid Aaron Rourke out. But, of course, everyone knew Aaron Rourke wasn't even in the building. And Smokes knew that as well. I think everyone understands that.
We talked about it on the podcast ahead of time. Rourke was not going to be in the house. I mean, he booked for another show. He was not in the area. So... I don't know what Smokes was trying to prove with this, but you know, he got what was coming to him pretty quick.
He certainly did, because Rourke's ally and friend Gabby Forza is in the house, and of course she was ready to fight, so she said, he's not here, but I am. And Forza went on a roll early, using her power advantage to hit a big press slam, a big spear, a springboard splash out of the corner, and a release German suplex. She was rolling. However, in the end, Ricky, using his veteran intellect and his experience, was able to survive, winning with a roll-up. However, had his feet on the ropes to pick up the win. So he got the victory. This is his first one as a singles wrestler since crunch time, July 2022. We'll get to more about what he called out afterward in a second. However, Randy, I have to ask you about this. Possibly one of the moments of the year in 2024, Limitless Wrestling. Forza, furious. Young Lee was very upset. Started arguing with Eric Greenleaf, as many people in the Yarmouth Ambets have been prone to do over the years, you know, telling Greenleaf, giving him what for and how to. So then she lost her cool, Randy, and she landed an all-time spear on the referee. Out of nowhere, the Yarmouth faithful popped big. Their moment had come. This was a shocking moment, and Eric Greenleaf was able to eventually come back and referee later in the night was sporting some you know, favoring his side, and he was in rough shape. But Randy, I gotta ask you about the moment, and I gotta also have to ask you, you know, is this going to result in a suspension for a limitless rookie? I mean, she can't be doing that to officials, can she, even if it's Eric Greenleaf?
I think there'd be more heat on us if we did suspend her at this point, Josh. I mean, she's already announced for the next show. I do think that we are going to make the accommodations to not put Greenleaf in that danger, in that scenario, potentially again. Obviously frustrations are high after a call is missed like that, but hey, he's the referee of the contest. What he says goes, and Ricky Smokes walked out the victor that night by hook or by crook. So good for Ricky, I suppose. But, you know, if you're going to come out and call out Rourke in that way, I mean, obviously Gabby's sticking up for her friend, like you said, but you're going to get what's coming to you with the evil gay. next time we get these two in the same building, I think it's going to go down for Ricky Smokes, and I'm not sure he's going to like it.
I mean, do we have to alert Nate Speckman to wear like a flak jacket or something like that? I mean, the referees are going to be terrified of the power of Gabby Forza. She's very strong.
We'll get some metal sheets to put around him so he can just, you know, kind of be a stick unit in there.
Now, is this Goldberg and Bret Hart back in the day? Is that what we're going to do? The plates and all that? Hopefully no concussion.
You never know, man. Protection at that point.
Yeah, so let's get back to Smokes again, as you kind of alluded to. Backstage, later on, Ricky said he had bigger business to attend to. And again, he reiterated he wants Rourke one-on-one. And he will, quote-unquote, backhand the face paint right off Rourke's face. So it sounds like at some point these two are going to get together in a Limitless Wrestling room. We just don't know when that's going to happen. But, yeah, Ricky Smokes picks up the victory. And then, we'll see what's next for Gabby Forza. That leads us to, I think, one of the most impressive Limitless debuts in, I'd say, in company history, I dare say. This was pretty incredible. So we had the Brats come out. This is not the debut I'm talking about, even though as a team they're making their debut in Limitless. Paris Von Dale and Shannon Levangie, of course, we talked about them before, seen them on the road, seen Shannon in Limitless before. But they're making their Limitless debut as a team. And PVD, as I'm going to call her, Paris Von Dale, said the show is going to mark the beginning of the Bratitude era. I like that line. And these two are just running down the fans and all that as well. And then their demeanor changed quite a bit when Megan Bain's music hit and the Megasus came out again, fresh off this long run stardom, her first match back on domestic soil since her stardom run ended. Again, just you can look at the stats, you can see the matches on YouTube or what have you, but until you see this woman in person, you don't know just what an intimidating physical presence that she is. And she is a powerhouse. She immediately has that. And Troy Nelson made a great point just saying that, you know, catch her while you can, and basically alluding that she's going to be a big star somewhere. I know she's under AEW contract now. Hopefully it's there. Could be WWE down the road. You never know, but she is going to make a presence somewhere because she's got it. And she fought through some double team attempts from the Brats. These two were just overmatched from the get-go. She hit this move, and again, I'm not a big TikTok guy, but I assume this could be a great move of the day. This improbable double belly-to-back, side-by-side suplex on these two. I wrote that it had to be seen to be believed. It's like I'm trying to like recollect how it looked. It's one of those things that you don't even realize. Like it's almost like special effects and how powerful you have to be to pick up two human beings in the way that she did and lay them out is incredible. In the end, Bane won over the which she calls Bane 5, which is an F5 on Levangie. That was followed by a tombstone piledriver to Vandale onto Levangie for the pin. And this was as impressive a debut as I can remember. However, later on, the Brats undeterred, and they said they weren't going anywhere. And that was probably before they learned that Bane is coming back to Limitless in April for Guilty Pleasures. This was a great debut. I'm very high on Megan Bain, if you can't tell. And I think I'm very looking forward to seeing what's happening in April with her.
Yeah, I mean, I think Troy Nelson said it best, catch Megan Bain while you can, because it feels like she is not long for our world of independent wrestling. I mean, the mood changes when she steps into the room, and you don't feel that with everybody. You don't feel that presence. You don't feel, honestly, the unpredictability of what she can do, because she, if you watch her stuff or if you're new to what she does, I mean, incredible every outing you see her. And this was no different, where taking care of Shannon Levangie and Paris Van Dale, who are, you know, really talented performers in their own right. But unfortunately for them, you know, the Bratitude era, it may have started in February 24 in Yarmouth, but I don't know if it got off on the right foot for them. We can actually kick it to the post-match comments when they regained consciousness after this match and just see what they had to say for their future.
What just happened out there?
What was that? This was our Limitless debut. It was our moment to shine, and that freak Megan Bain ruined it!
She ruined it. She literally tried to kill us.
She tried to drop us on our heads. Murder is not cool.
Not cool.
But you know what? She's not gonna get rid of us that easy. You think that, Megan Bain? We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, there you go. They're confident, Randy, but I don't know if they want to cross the path of Megan Bain anytime in the future, but I guess we'll see what happens.
I respect it. I respect it. But I think you may have to attack that situation a little differently next time if you go for it.
Yeah, like a suit of armor, a sword, a flamethrower, something like that.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, bundling up Eric Greenleaf here. I don't know what they'd be bringing to the table, but jeez.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Maybe aligned with Ace Romero or something like that. Maybe the only way to protect them. But yeah, Megan Bain, again, catch her while you can, and you can catch her in April. We'll talk more about that in just a couple of minutes. That leads us to a tag team match, an impromptu tag team match in a lot of ways, because originally set to be Desmond Cole and Charles Mason, again, a rematch from a past Vacation Land Cup. So what happens is Richard Holiday came out. He was in full gear and confronted Cole. It's like, what's going on here? And then Charles Mason, no big surprise, sneaking in from behind. And those two then beat up Cole until the savior, JT Dunn, literally the savior in this case, ran off of the save to even the odds. And of course, as you might imagine, he said, well, it's two of you, two of us. Let's do a tag team match. And it was on. And both Cole and Dunn, they were kind of struggling to get the advantage here. Taking a beating from both Holiday and Mason at various points. Cole was taking abuse early, and then Dunn was taking abuse late. Holiday hit this pretty sweet counter, Super 2008 from the top rope on Cole as a counter. Surefire pin was broken up by Dunn at the last minute. And then later on, looked like Dez had this match won for his team, hitting his signature Swanton from the top. Just as he was about to pin Charles Mason, Holiday pulled Speckman out to everyone's dismay. Everyone was pissed off about this. But the end came when Charles Mason had a sleeper on Cole, and Dunn was standing on the apron, and Dunn called for Cole to run towards him and so he could kick him. But it got reversed along the way, and Cole got kicked instead, ran into a Mason twisting tombstone pile driver for the pin. It was over, Rich and Powerful picking up the victory. And then afterward, you know, we see this before, you know, Dez has kind of been, you know, hesitant with how things have been going with this alliance with JT Dunn. And he kind of finally had enough. You know, Dunn was trying to make things right. And Cole had finally had enough, told him to back away, lit into him, and had called him selfish. And then Dunn slumped in the corner, kind of looked disgusted at himself. And, you know, Cole was just, he almost looked like empathetic. Like he didn't know what to do. Like he was sad about, almost like he was, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but also like he was pissed off that they lost. And then the unit who was set to have it be in action later in the night, Danny Miles and Trigger the OG came out, and they start talking shit to Cole. And then Dunn out of nowhere just starts firing up and laid Cole out with the death by elbow from behind and looked conflicted as he walked out with Danny and Trigger, who were more than happy to see this happen. And the later on, we would see that a clip that I don't even think made the main broadcast, but I saw it on social media afterward. The King is back, Randy. These two guys walking up to JT Dunn, that being Miles and Trigger, celebrating what they did. JT was sitting there again, still looking conflicted. And then that classic JT Dunn laugh. And the guy that was so passionate about getting that Limitless World title back in the day, the nefarious JT Dunn, the guy who's aligned with MJF and you couldn't trust him. He's back, Randy. He's back, and God help the Limitless locker room. The old JT Dunn has returned.
The King is back, Josh, and it's like the old JT Dunn never left. There's some relationship issues here. Because I mean, we've seen it with MJF. We saw it with Ace Romero, and now, you know, it got too close for Desmond Cole, and I think he popped off, and I think a lot of people in the house that night on the watch back can understand his frustrations. I mean, he was one step away from the Limitless Championship against the guy that he beat in 15 seconds, and then JT Dunn ends up weaseling his way into that scenario, and then look where Dez Cole ends up at the end of that match, pushed out on the floor. So I don't know if that's ever left Dez Cole, you know, the back of his head, and, you know, granted, in this scenario, he's kind of put him into a tough spot where you got to trust and work with JT Dunn regardless if you want to or not, and obviously, that boiled over at the end of the match. Dez said what he needed to say, and JT handled that as only JT would. I can't say anything surprises me with JT anymore. And with Danny Miles, Trigger the OG, guys who he's ridden the roads with, and guys who are going to come to his defense in a moment like that, and maybe remind JT who the fuck he is. And I think we saw the real JT come to the surface, as we always end up doing. You know, we always see the real JT come through at some point. And it's just kind of a test of how long that takes. And honestly, throughout this entire process, you know, coming back, wrestling Desmond Cole in the first round of the Cup and kind of putting his name on Cole last year to go win the thing. It just kind of felt like the connection may be a little different here with Des Cole, and maybe JT after the years had matured and he was different now, and you know he's going to be a father very soon, and it just felt kind of different this run until this very point. And now we're definitely in a King's world with JT at this point, with the unit by his side.
Yeah, I thought was this the plan all along for JT Dunn? Was he really trying to be the good guy, so to speak? Was this, I'm so interested to see what Dunn has to say for himself. And I'm also interested to see Desmond Cole's response. And that's something we haven't talked about yet. We haven't heard from him yet, but I am very intrigued, because you know Des is always down for a fight, and he's taking on big challenges, big names. And this, now he's got some heat with this guy. And I'm very interested to see what happens. Of course, yeah, we'll see what's going to go on with Danny and Trigga. We'll talk about them in a second. But I don't want to gloss over the fact that later on the night, the winners of the match, which again was Richard Holiday and Charles Mason, glowing about their victory in the back, and they took a shot at above the rest, which is interesting. It sounds like they are after some bigger game in the tag team division, Randy.
Well, it seems like Mason and Holiday are here to stay, and I honestly think, like, I look at them as a unit. Like, looking back, I would have never expected that Charles Mason and Richard Holiday would be, you know, one of the top teams to watch as we move into 2024, because you look at their entire track record, their careers, they were built on being individuals. I mean, we've kind of seen the evolution of Charles Mason through the years in Limitless Wrestling, but Richard Holiday, new to our fan base, some will obviously know him from MLW work. He's kind of going all over the country right now for GCW, just got back from doing Rev Pro in England. Dude's around. And, you know, people know about Richard Holiday's line of work. But I would have never expected this pairing to come together. And not only that, but have the chemistry they do, be as successful as they are. I think it's two like-minded individuals who are here for success. And they're going to call out whoever's at the top.
Yeah. So we'll see what comes out of this with Holiday and Mason and ATR. We'll talk about more about them in a minute. And then, with JT and Desmond Cole, and yeah, who knows? JT, the King is back indeed. And we should have all known. But we'll talk more about that at a different time, because we have to talk about this match. Alec Price taking on Leo Rush. This was Leo Rush's first Limitless appearance since April 2017. Price's first appearance since losing that match last September to the aforementioned Desmond Cole in a last man standing match. And these guys finally hooking this up in Limitless for the very first time. And this was great. This was a very solid, fun match as expected. Speed on display from both men. And, you know, you could tell they had some history with each other, because, you know, both doing the crisscross and ropes, stopping in the middle because one of them were going to pull the move on the other, but then they realized what was coming. So they both kind of froze. So they did that a couple times. Rush, again, no surprise. I don't have to tell you how fast he is. It's impressive. Like little things, like he did this mat spin, almost like a spin Rudy into a head kick. Just came out of nowhere, hit an out-of-nowhere Spanish fly, nearly got him the win, and started having some right wrist and shoulder issues, and that kind of may have slowed him down a little bit, distract him, because the end came. Rush did hit a spear and missed his big frog splash, the man of the hour frog splash. Price took that little window of opportunity, just a sliver, and hit a surprise kick, getting the pin and win. So again, this was a solid match, and then afterward, Alec Price, he's into the fans again, Randy. He's a kind of big white meat baby face promo, so to speak, and saying, among other things, he's getting better, not just for himself but for the fans, and then calling out Channing Thomas for a title shot. Again, the title match hadn't happened yet, but essentially saying, I want a title shot, and he wants his first since losing the title to Ace Romero back in September 2022. He will get that in April. We'll talk more about that. But yeah, this was as expected, as advertised, an entertaining, more than entertaining match between these two. Would love to see Leo Rush back and Alec onto bigger and better things, and you know, putting that loss to Des far behind him. And he's got some title. He's got the title in his eyes.
He does. I'll start with Leo. Like, I think there are few wrestlers who are on the road as much, you know, touring and multiple countries, and you know, he's also dabbling in multiple lines of work, but there are a few that go harder and do more to really, like, I don't know, just leave their mark and help out where they can, like Leo Rush. And he came in and absolutely tore it down with Alec Price, who, as you said, championship and gold oriented right now. He is looking to get back to that championship and staring down, you know, someone who he used to run the roads with. We'll talk about this later. I don't want to get too much into, you know, off track of this match, but what a blast this was to watch in person. I said going into this, Leo is one of my favorites to watch in person. Alex on that list too, because the dude, he just surprises me every time, and just like he has for years. I mean, just the crazy athleticism, the shit that he can pull off, his timing, and also, like, to have, we were talking about it with Dez and with Gabby, Alec has a grip on a crowd, and like you said, like, it's like nothing has changed or nothing happened with Dez Cole, because the instant he comes back after a few months away touring the country, it's like he never left, and it's like he just won the championship again. They love Alec Price, and I think people stoked to hear that he's going to be around more often once again, and also that he's gunning for the thing that he feels he shouldn't have lost, the Limitless Wrestling World Championship.
Yeah, this is one of those matches I was thinking watching it. I wish I was there for in person just to kind of get the speed element, get that, you know, the certain that matches like you watch on TV, but it's great. But then being there in that environment just adds to it. That was definitely on display here. Yeah, I'd love to see these guys hook it up again. Love to see Leo Rush back at some point. Yeah, sometimes, you know, he's pretty busy all over the place, and he'll go kind of, you know, quiet some points, kind of take some time off and come back. But I'm hoping we'll see him again for sure. And I'd love to see this, and love to see this run back. Who knows? And yeah, we'll talk more about Alec Price's future in just a minute, because, Randy, we had to talk about a man that came out to the ring, two men that came out to the ring, actually. You had Jay Haru, as Top Shelf said, was dressed like every background actor or supporting actor from a UPN show in the 1990s. That was a pretty funny line for those that know. But yeah, Jay Haru came out, some note cards for ring announcer Rich Palladino, and Rich, being a professional, read them. And that led to, of course, the man himself, Aiden Agro, making his first appearance, and of course, defeating former MSP teammate and former friend Danger Kid in that January Epic we talked about before. Big surprise, Randy. Aiden Agro wasn't received well from the Yarmouth faithful, and one of my favorite moments. I don't think it'll make the list for best Limitless moments of 2024, but it will for me. So in the corner, there was one young lady, may have been, you know, 12, 11, something like that. Side, she gave Aiden Agro the, you know, the Steve Austin salute, the double middle fingers, and the people popped for it. And Aiden Agro responded. You can say anything about Aiden Agro, but he's very gifted in talking and insults. Responded by telling his mother, "I'd be your father, but a dog beat me to it." And that brought the house down. And that popped me. That was a amazing, amazing line. Anyway, among his comments, he talked about, you know, changing the game. And along the way, you know, he said he's going to build his name the right way. And he took a shot at Ace Romero. Remember early in the podcast, I talked about Ace Romero telling him to keep his name out of his mouth. But I thought that was interesting. Ace didn't even call him Aiden. He said, "Jossy, and keep my name out of your mouth." And he said he's going to build his name the right way. And he said that Aiden Agro is the main character. And later backstage, she'll have a little bit more to say, him and Mr. Haru, saying the Vacation Land Cup could use a main character. So adding some intrigue there. He will be in action in April, but the return of Aiden Agro, and the fans have not forgot, put it that way.
Yeah, they certainly haven't. And to that girl, it was her birthday, for Christ's sakes, as well. So a happy birthday to Morgan. Sorry it was ruined by Aiden Agro there, but I was curious, honestly, what he was going to have to say for himself, and really did not dive into it too much, you know, and kind of said, you know, he's understanding of the lay of the land now, and if he knew this earlier, he'd have changed things years ago. There wouldn't have been MSP for a long time, and now he understands and is going to build his name to the Vacation Land Cup, and it's going to be an interesting ride for Agro moving forward, because we knew after January, really after December, after this all went down with Danger Kid, Agro is not going to have many friends in this locker room, if any, left. And somehow he found a hanger-on in Jay Haru, who people have wanted to kick out of catering before, Ace Romero included. this guy now, you know, bringing his card to the ring, he's watching his back a little bit, he's hyping him up. I just don't know what kind of road we're on with Aiden Agro right now. And says he wants to build his name the right way. He certainly has not been doing that in the first quarter of 2024. So We'll see what's next for him. I do know, and we can talk about it a little bit later, he is going to return to in-ring action for the first time since that match in January with Danger Kid at the April event in Yarmouth. So we're going to see what the new Aiden Aggro is all cracked up to be in April. But I hope he's ready, man. I mean, it's a different pool you're jumping into without anybody, you know, teaming with you. I guess he's got Jay Haru watching his back, but it's a whole different landscape.
Yeah. So Morgan, that was the Morgan. That was okay. Got it. All right. Because her name would come up a little bit later as well. She was a central figure on this show, Randy. Who knows? But yeah, we'll talk more about that. But yeah, Aiden Aggro. Yeah, it's good. Set for action. Very interested to see what happens with him and Mr. Haru. And that brings in to the tag team match we talked about earlier, Above the Rest taking on the Unit. That was, of course, Tristan Tye and Gabriel Sky against Danny Miles and Trigger the OG. Of course, this ATR's first match back since the MSP series concluded in December, and Miles making his return to Limitless for the first time since February 2017. And after, what, two decades, I think, Troy said, of work, that Trigger making his debut on the show as well for Limitless. So I'm sure that was kind of a cool moment for him. This promotion has been doing great things in Maine. He finally gets this opportunity.
Yeah, great to have Trigger and Danny in the room. I mean, they're a pair of New England stalwarts. And, you know, despite their affiliation and the shit they were pulling this night with JT, you got to give them credit where it's due. I mean, they're two hard workers. They're legit. And they can bring it in any scenario. And I think, you know, it's a tall task to have ATR be your dance partners on day one. They didn't pull out the win here, but I definitely think made a statement that they're, you know, not coming to be one and done. They obviously have JT Dunn in their back pocket now, so that's going to help things in terms of at least popping up in scenarios in Limitless Wrestling. But I thought that it was a solid debut, man. And I mean, what more can you say about ATR too? I mean, this run that they've been on, concluding the MSP series and now taking on all comers, and they've really put it out there that any team that wants to step up and thinks they have what it takes to hang, they're open to it, and they want the smoke, so to speak. So you know, inevitably, you know, Charles Mason and Richard Holiday could be on that list. The Unit was on the list this night, and ATR took it to him.
Yeah, competitive bout, and perhaps, Randy, the finish of the year. ATR prevented the Unit from hitting their finisher, and then Tristan Tye got in the corner quick. Monkey flip Trigger into a running sky knee that turned Trigger, I mean, like a full 360 degrees. It was one of those finishes that the crowd just all stood up for, like a holy shit moment. Yeah, it was, I mean, he got nailed. he was all right afterwards, obviously, but, you know, from the backstage footage with JT Dunn and so on. But this was, that was a bump, of all bumps.
That shit was nuts. That it popped off on Twitter. I saw Tim's, tweet, I think, went viral, but man, that was, it was insane. You obviously want to make sure somebody's all right after something like that, because that's one of those maneuvers, man. Just, you're airborne. Anything can happen in a scenario like that. And he got rocked.
He certainly did. But yeah, the win gave ATR. I mean, that's going to happen when you get in there against Tristan Tye and Gabriel Sky. These guys don't fuck around. Win gave them their second straight win. And again, perhaps a meeting with Rich and Powerful at some point. Unit, we'll see what's next for them. Obviously, just like you mentioned, yeah, kind of aligning with JT Dunn again, helping themselves out, but also reviving the old JT Dunn. So, yeah, we'll see what's happening there. Of course, JT didn't get involved in this match, but he did watch it from behind the announce desk, which Troy did not really care for. Try to get a, you know, comment out of him. No comments there. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, ATR, yet another victory. That leads us into the main event of the night. We had Limitless Wrestling World Champion Channing Thomas, of course, the Sydney Bacabella, taking on Rip Bison. And this was all based out of that Vacation Land Cup last year. You know, one of the most shocking moments, of course, Thomas winning the VLC and Rip winning the Limitless World title, his first one earlier in the night. And I mean, he may have held on to it for an hour, give or take, and challenged Cash's shot that night. Rip said, okay, I'm going to take this to Japan. I'm going to retain this title here and take it. And that did not happen. Again, Rip returned, made a surprise return in January, won the match that night, wanted Chan to return the favor. And Bacabella said, no way, we're going to wait till February rather. And that's what happened. So we finally got it here. And beforehand, of course, Sydney doing his own intro for Chaney Thomas, as he did, and added a few more lines to it, saying Thomas was, quote unquote, the only man in the room that doesn't care about Morgan's birthday. And referee Eric Greenleaf shot Bacabella just a look. It was like a gif-able look if I've ever seen one. Sydney made no eye contact with him. But yeah, Rip was rolling early. I mean, he was, he did so in a way that was controlled. He wasn't too out of control, but he was taking it to Channing, hitting a big dive over the top, looked effortless. Again, that he's in great shape coming back, as we talked about before, just flying over, looking like a fresh air or something like that, dragging Thomas around with the chain, biting him. And Sydney was very concerned. Bison hit three, Johnny Torres called them, Cactusa Rippers, the Mick Foley elbow drop to the floor. One of them came while Thomas was laid out on ringside chairs. I mean, at this point, you had to feel like, all right, this title change is academic. This is just going to happen. But Channing got his opening, took advantage of a pretty sweet, I call it Chris Jericho-style springboard dropkick to Bison while Bison was on the ring apron. Thomas couldn't finish him off, kept trying to get the pile driver, no chance. So we had Bison hitting a Love Gun Lariat. That got a two count. Then a chair got involved, but you know Ripper had some brass knuckles, so he used that to hit the chairs as being swung towards him. Hit a big choke slam. That was a near fall. And then, as always happens, Randy, Sydney Bacabella just can't help himself but to get involved. Distracted Rip Bison, and Rip decided not to go for his burning hammer. Get the slightly distracted. Thomas took advantage, hit a pile driver. However, Ripper kicked out at two, becoming the first man to kick out of the Channing Thomas pile driver. It's going to be his night, right? No, it would not be. He hit two lariats, knocked Bacabella off the apron, but Channing, smart wrestler, great wrestler, countered a burning hammer attempt into a small package, getting the victory, another successful title defense, and we'll talk about kind of the post-match after. Actually, we'll talk about it right now. Of course, things broke down. Bison was pissed, emotional, was going to deliver that hammer, come hell or high water, and then Alec Price, who was on commentary with Troy Nelson, ran down, knocked out Bacabella with a surprise kick out of nowhere. And then Bison hit the burning hammer on Channing. And then, interesting moment, Price still over Thomas with the title belt. And Bison still, very, again, emotional, pissed off he lost. Shoved Alec Price, thought we were going to see something there. And then they talked it out really quick, shook hands, embraced. And sad for Channing, Ripper, rather. But yeah, we have our title match now set for April. It'll be Channing Thomas defending against Alec Price, a match we'll talk about a lot more over this next month. And yeah, another defense by Channing, more interference by Sydney Bacabella, and Ripper again, not able to redeem himself and come back from that loss at the VLC. He has climbed back up the ladder again. And just like that, Channing headed off to Germany. We'll talk about that for a minute. But your Limitless World Champion still, Channing Thomas.
Yeah, what a wild one this was. Rip, returning his first match in Limitless since losing the championship at the August Vacationland Cup. And what a war it was. I mean, beat the absolute hell out of Channing Thomas all around the ring and all around the arena, really. As great of a wrestler as Channing Thomas is, there is a secret sauce for him to be able to get this done. And it seems like Sydney Bacabella provides that more often than not. So I feel for Ripper on this night. Of course, we'll talk about what his future held in the weeks after that coming up. But honestly, kind of cool to see Rip Bison and Alec Price at this point. Of course, Ripper coming off a loss like that and be able to have that respect for Alec Price moving forward to maybe be the guy who could end this reign of Channing Thomas and kind of restore valor to the Limitless Wrestling World Championship. That's what Ripper wanted to do. He got his dream taken away. And now Alec Price has a second chance. He's never had another shot at the championship since losing to Ace Romero about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years at this point. We're closing in. So Alec, of course, wants to get back to the mountaintop, and now someone he came into Let's Wrestle With back in the day, someone he came into wrestling with really many years ago at the Belltime Club Training Center is who he's going to be squaring off with April 13th.
Yeah, you talked about that a little bit on commentary. We'll talk more about that as we preview that match ahead. But yeah, let's acknowledge Rip. He's heading off Japan again, and again, disappointed, does not have the Limitless World title. Where does he go from here?
Yeah, I don't know what's next for Rip, honestly. He's just touched down as we're recording back in Fukuoka for Kyushu Pro in Japan. Very ecstatic for him to be on a second tour there. And of course, he was planning on doing so once again as Limitless Wrestling World Champion, as he planned to the first time in August. But Ripper, I mean, I know destinations and goals have been reached, but he's someone who's never, it's never enough. And he's never not hungry. He's never not grinding to get more. And I expect Ripper to come back even more of a machine than he did the first time from Japan and ready to get back to the top. And unfortunately, much like Ace Romero in a circumstance months ago, I think it's going to have to be from the bottom working your way back up to get where you were before, because unfortunately, not once but twice, the Limitless Wrestling World Champion has bested him.
Yeah, it's I feel bad for Ripper, but yeah, I mean, as you mentioned before, it's how do you neutralize Sydney Bacabella? And I mean, these events do take place in the 207. I think there are probably some local boys around that know to set up a hoist, you know, so maybe a shark cage or something like that, you know.
Now we're talking. Yeah,
yeah, just you get this guy literally just swing him, hook it up to the top of the roof, and you know, something like that. Must be something you can do, right?
Yeah, there's got to be a winch guy down at the bar downstairs ahead of time. I say, hey, brother.
I mean, an idea literally just came to mind. I'll throw this is a free one. Why don't you call about your own friend Turdy from that Turdy Work show and see if she can help neutralize him? What about that?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she can get us a moose shit cabin that we could put him in, maybe?
Something. I mean, it may have to be something along those lines. Like a... Yeah, the big like kind of WrestleMania style main event where you have like the celebrity on one side, like Donald Trump against McMahon back in the day, and all. Maybe Turdy needs to be Alec Bryce's corner for April. Who knows?
Oh, you think bring her in? Okay,
yes, like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not the moose shit. I
don't
know. Randy.
She wouldn't even get in the ring the first time that we did something with them. So I don't know if we could. Maybe if the money's right, we could get her in the ring.
Yeah, perhaps Sydney and
I'm hating myself that I can't think of her name right now.
I mean, who knows? I mean, given Sydney Vacabella's background, he and Turdy may have had a relationship back in the day. I have no idea.
That's true. Caught her in the territory once or twice.
Oh, you know, brother. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, so yet we have Bitter Taste now in the books. But however, we're looking ahead, no show in March, but we are looking ahead to April's Guilty Pleasures coming up on Saturday, August. What am I thinking? Think about BLC. That's right, my man. Saturday, April 3rd. Too much weed. Saturday, April 13th for Guilty Pleasures. Of course, no big surprise. Front row sold out. Tickets on sale now. Available on the website, of course, limitlesswrestling.com/tickets. How are the sales going a month out? I assume strong as always.
It's going good. We're almost 50% sold out already. So
oh boy.
We're you know, as we're recording, we're a month in advance. So it's looking like another sellout is possible in Yarmouth.
Yeah, and that's been would continue a great run. So yeah, if you're gonna go, get your tickets now. Don't be shut out. And yeah, be there for Saturday, April 13th, because if you go to the show in Yarmouth, Maine, you're gonna see Paul London making his return to Maine after 7 years, make his tour to Limitless after 7 years. This was a surprise announcement, continuing this run of guys and girls that have not been around for the better part of a decade, and all of a sudden you're just pulling back from the past, and the people love it. I love it.
Yeah, we've only had Paul London once. Of course, it is a little tougher sometimes to link up travel and dates with anybody who's living on the other side of the country, Paul coming out of California. But we were able to set this one up, and something really fun cooked up for Paul London. I'm excited for it. Went one-on-one with Anthony Green in his debut back at Problematic in 2017. So to be able to have him back, he's legitimately, to me, like kind of a legend of my era of indie wrestling. And a guy who made it, obviously, to WWE later in his career on Lucha Underground. And the dude's just been kind of everywhere and involved in everything. And a wealth of knowledge and somebody great to have around. I saw a story actually from someone who attended the Paul London Westbrook show back in 2017, who just put over the experience and was like, he was so cool. He was hanging out in the crowd during the main event, which I believe that night was the Wild Fans Bring the Weapons match with Ace Romero and AR Fox. And just that he was, you know, mad cool, and the fan experience was one of their best. So to bring that back now, to bring it to Yarmouth for the first time, I'm stoked for it. And I think by the next time we talk, we'll have a match to talk about.
That's right. Problematic. May 2017 in Westbrook. Yeah, Anthony Green defeating Paul London. Fans Bring the Weapons. Yeah, this was quite a Brian Cage on the show, Flip Gordon on the show, Jonathan Gresham, and top shelf Troy Nelson defeating Colt Cabana with Sydney Bacabella. How about that?
Yeah, Sydney Bacabella. He's been a thorn in everybody's side for years.
Unbelievable. So looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that as we go ahead. And he's also doing a seminar before the show, yeah?
He is, yeah. Just announced any wrestlers or any who are anybody in training right now who's listening to this podcast. London's going to be in town early, and he's going to be doing a seminar the afternoon of Guilty Pleasures. So April 13th, right in Yarmouth. If you want more information, shoot us a DM or email limitlesswrestling@yahoo.com.
It's cool that these shows now, that more and more, you're seeing more of these seminars that guys are doing. And it's a great opportunity, as you were mentioning. You mentioned for the Sami Callihan one. People from all over the place are getting to learn from someone that's, you know, been to the top of the mountain, so to speak, right? And a guy's still doing it. And no matter how much you think you know, you can always learn. And those are great one-on-one opportunities, or, you know, one in a group setting. But you kind of give them these small group sessions. That must be a really cool experience for a young talent, especially, I mean, you have so many guys at the Limitless Dojo and so on. That's must be a great opportunity for them to learn.
I think it's really beneficial, and I think it's really needed for this area in particular, because they're just, unlike other states, there just aren't a lot of options to learn or to travel easily to be able to learn. I mean, from where we're at, I think the closest wrestling school is about 3.5 hours away. So, and, you know, granted, you know, New England does have the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. If you're in the Northeast, House of Glory, you know, there's a lot of reputable places to train. But to get those, you know, firsthand knowledge of someone like a Paul London or a Sami Callihan or, you know, Anthony Green, who we've hosted recently, yeah. Anthony Henry, guys who, you know, they've been doing this 15, 20, 25 years. They've been on TV. They've maybe been to the Fed or been in TNA or whatever it may be. Everybody's just got different perspectives, different stories, different ideas, different ways of doing things. I mean, there's plenty of right and wrong ways to do things in wrestling. It's all about kind of what works for you and run it, you know? And I think to have these, you know, at least the chance to fucking pick the brain of somebody like that, super beneficial for wrestlers, for people in training. And it's very cool that someone like a Paul London would take the time to, out of his day, to come in early and be able to do something like that. So I'm stoked for it. We got limited spots available. So if you're listening, if you're training, wrestling, whatever it may be, and want to take part, get a hold of us and we can make it happen.
And of course, you mentioned Channing Thomas defending the Limitless Wrestling World title against Alec Price. And this is a new one. Alicia Edwards, wife of Eddie Edwards, making her debut currently in TNA and doing her thing there as part of the system.
Yeah, talk about New England stalwarts. You talk about Lish, man. Been around forever. Goes her own way, and she's always looking out, you know, in the area. And it's crazy to me that it's taken this long for us to link up with Lish, but the timing, you know, it always has to be right. And in this scenario, it worked out for both of us. So I'm stoked to get her into the mix. Been a long time coming, and I wouldn't doubt we see more of her later this year, but you never know, man. TNA's ramping up a schedule, so to be able to lock up any TNA talent right now, I'm stoked about it. So TNA knockout, Alicia Edwards making her debut, and just like before with Paul, I think we'll be able to talk about something cool with her next time we speak.
I like it. And of course, you announced also the Silver Sniper, TJ Crawford, making his return to Limitless, and very excited to see what's next for him, coming off a big win last time out. Megan Bain, as I mentioned, she's coming back. Cannot wait to see that. Aiden Agro, with, of course, Jay Haru. Aiden Agro returning to singles action, and very interested to see what's next for him. And always interested to see what's happened with Gabby Forza. We'll see what's on her mind and what's going to be next for her as she comes off that loss to Ricky Smokes. And, of course, more stuff to come. This is a card that a lot of people are excited about, and you barely announced anything for it yet. I love it.
I'm jazzed up for it, dude. I was looking through. It's got some fresh matchups on here that we haven't seen before, and just some fun elements to this card once we lay it all out. So I'm really looking forward to it. As you said, tickets are on sale now, limitlesswrestling.com/tickets, and we're nearing 50% sold out. And I actually think, Josh, as well, we're probably going to have another show announcement to speak about pretty soon. I'm not going to give up any more than that, but Just be on your toes looking for what's on the schedule, what's on the docket for Limitless Wrestling moving forward pretty soon.
Mm, interesting. Very intrigued. Very intrigued. Let's go over some news real quick and hit a little bit on Let's Wrestle before we get out of here. Lots to talk about. It's a little bit longer episode. As I mentioned, J.A. Thomas making his debut. Germany's WXW last week picked up a big win there. So Limitless champion going overseas and getting it done.
Yeah, defeated Fancy Ryan Clancy. There was a wave of kind of wrestlers from North America that went over for WXW's big weekend, but Channing walking out victorious, and hopefully more to come for him in Germany. Mm.
And then Rip Bison, as I mentioned, he's in Japan as we speak for his second tour with Kyushu Pro last week. And also, I should mention, Randy, and I know I mentioned this to you, but what disrespect by Channing Thomas posting that image of longest Limitless Wrestling World title reigns and spelling Anthony Green's name wrong. What a jerk. What is this guy doing?
Oh my God. I got a lot of heat for that. And I'm like, I didn't even make the graphic, folks. I don't know. I don't know if that was an intentional shot or of course just a graphical error, but it didn't sit well with AG, on multiple social platforms, making it known that, hey, motherfucker, put some spect on the name.
Interesting. We'll put a pin in that one for the future. We'll see if that starts something down the road. And also, I want to mention a shout out to another Anthony Henry, a guy that has been in Limitless, obviously before, was set to challenge for the world title and so on, but was unable to make his date. However, suffered a broken jaw in any match with Brian Keith, another former Limitless Wrestling competitor, currently in AEW. Both these guys in AEW. Yeah, suffering his broken jaw, is going to be out. He seems pretty gutted about it because, he's going to be taken off the road and can't do what he loves to do. So best wishes and get well soon to Anthony Henry.
He's a tough motherfucker, dude. Anthony, one of the toughest dudes around, I feel like, and I think the rebound for him will be even better. And sometimes it's good to get some time to unplug, recharge, and get yourself 100% top to bottom. So I'm hoping the best for him and excited to see him back in the ring.
Yeah, still holding out hope we'll get that title match someday.
I know. He's still, it's there for the taking when the schedule lines up.
Watch out, whoever the champion is at that time. That should be something, but we'll talk about that if that happens in the future. But also, real quick, Let's Wrestle. May 4th, Let's Wrestle coming to Fairfield, Maine. We've talked about that before. Tickets on sale now. BRG defending the Let's Wrestle title against Jason Maverick. And how are sales going for that? And what do we got else on the card?
It's going good, man. Looking forward to be back at the Fairfield Community Center. Front row all sold out, but general admission tickets available for just $15. As you said, Maverick versus BRG. Little Mean Kathleen will be in the house. El Valentine, the new thing. The Let's Wrestle tag team champions, Alexander Lee and Mike McCarthy. So real fun lineup. I think match is going to start coming into frame soon. So be on the lookout. Let's Wrestle socials for all that. But yeah, back in Fairfield, May 4th for another installment of Let's Wrestle.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling's, now I was looking at the Facebook page. Pro Wrestling's number one point guard, Jermaine Marbury, is going to be part of the show as well. I love this picture of him with a mascot here. It's you don't see that too often, mascots in wrestling these days.
I know. Sometimes they say we need more of them, and then Sydney Bacabella pops up and tries to label as a mascot. So I try to watch my words. But, yeah, a lot of fun debuts actually lined up for that Let's Wrestle show. Going to be a really fresh feel bringing to Fairfield.
Good stuff. All right. Spring is here. No more snow. Spring is here. And that means some fun wrestling coming up. Can't wait. The first 3 months of the year are done in Limitless. And we look ahead to April and Guilty Pleasures. And of course, you find out more about that, of course, on social media. But let's mention some plugs really quick for IWTV. If you want to watch any of the past shows from Limitless Wrestling, jump on there. Of course, they have shows from all over the world. Every interpromotion you ever want and can imagine is on there. Matches from everyone. IWTV, inexpensive every month. Use the promo code Limitless. That helps out the promotion. PMC Channel 5 in Portland, Maine and Greater Westbrook. Sundays at 1 a.m. Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Thursdays at 2 p.m. and Fridays at 8 p.m. for the latest Enfield, Connecticut on PA TV Channel 15 on Saturdays, 11:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. And if your local cable access, public access channel wants some Limitless Wrestling, you want to be able to watch it, give Randy a shout out. See what he can do. This man is a mover and a shaker in the world of media. Get some Limitless Wrestling in your region. Social media, LW Maine on Twitter, Limitless Wrestling on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Let's Wrestle 207 on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Randy_Carver LW on Twitter. I'm Josh Nason on Twitter. And of course, LunasWrestling.com for all your ticket and merchandise needs, which include April's Guilty Pleasures. Tickets on sale now. Some new merchandise is available on LunasWrestling.com. You want to check that out. And going to be a fun month ahead. We'll do a few podcasts, and maybe we'll do an Ask Limitless coming up, maybe an interview coming up. Who knows? But we're going to be previewing All Eyes Ahead to Guilty Pleasures coming up in April for Limitless Wrestling. So for Randy Carver, I'm Josh Nason. Until next time, be limitless.